Dan Cofone. I read everything, and I mean everything, and it takes up a good part of my day. But I always have time for one of my favorite publications, and that's Grand Lux Magazine. Every month, Grand Lux has the best articles about Dallas and our friends in Dallas. From businessmen and philanthropists to artists, actors, and local celebrities, it's all there. Mix in travel, cuisine, cool cars, and that's my favorite, jewelry and watches, and you get one exciting magazine that I look forward to every month. It's the Dallas that I've come to love for more than 30 years. As a Grand Lux subscriber, I don't just read the beautiful printed copy. I also read the online version and check for updates. In fact, you should check out Grand Lux Magazine right now. Get it free at GrandLuxMagazine.com. Read it on your smartphone or your tablet anytime at GrandLuxMagazine.com. Tell them Dan sent you and get a free pair of tickets to their next luxury event. Come to think of it, I may be at that event. Try it now.
Don't stop listening to the Wall Street Shuffle till you know what is in Shane's radio satchel. Heard every day right here at 5:45 on the Wall Street Shuffle.
Let me guess, my friend. Are we now calling this Hugo's theme?
Yes. This goes out to our leader, Hugo, over there in Venezuela.
So long.
Youngest president, my honey.
You know, they keep saying he was saved, he came back, he died. This guy must have assumed room temperature a couple months ago. He had to.
Yeah.
He looked more propped up than Castro did.
Weekend at Bernie's with Hugo.
Right. Exactly. Won't somebody please come out with, won't some ventriloquist come out with a puppet, a Hugo Chavez puppet, please?
Jeff Dunham is probably working on it right now.
That's the guy that I couldn't remember. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Welcome back to the Wall Street Shuffle. I'm Dan Cofal. Our phone number is 877-326-3255. And my good friend is on the line with us right now, Richard Dowdy, the Magombo guru, economist, former contributor to the Daily Reckoning, overall financial genius, bon vivant, raconteur, man of the world, a man who knows everything about exactly what I need him to know about. How are you, Magombo?
Hi, how are you, Dan?
I'm having a hard time making those introductions more
servile.
Yes.
Unctuous. Yes. More, that's what I'm looking for.
More relative.
Servility.
That's exactly right. All right. Hey, I still got people out there that are saying the Federal Reserve is doing a great job. Federal Reserve, one of your least favorite groups, one of my least favorite groups. They laid out a couple days ago, Ben Bernanke did, he threw out a little tidbit, and Danny and I were talking about it before the show. I would like to get your take on it. When he said, he started talking about the exit strategy for getting out of this which was likely to be about $4 trillion or more when he decides to exit this. Does he really have an exit strategy?
No, of course not. There is no exit strategy. How could he possibly come up with one? But he just wants to forestall a lot of people whining about how we're going to have QE to infinity and they're never going to turn it off, people like me. And sure enough, it turns out to be true. They're not turning it off. You know, one of the things that most alarming facts I found out the other day, that during the month of February, from the 1st of February to the 28th of February, that's 28 days, the national debt went up by $254 billion.
Yes, sir.
In 1 month. Oh, my gosh, we're talking trillions, $6 trillion a year, $4 trillion a year, 2 years. Who knows how this thing's going to end up?
And let's put this in terms that people might become agitated over. $250 billion in 1 month.
1 month, 28 days. The shortest month of the year, too.
A short month.
I mean, you don't have to know many things to get along in this world, but one of them is from Milton Friedman, who says that inflation in prices is always and everywhere a bucket of money, a phenomenon of monetary policy.
Oh, you betcha.
It's going to happen. It's a phenomenon. You can't get away. It's the law. The money is flowing into the economy because the government is borrowing it. This new money is flowing into the economy. It's going to go into the price of things and services because that's the only place it can go. And it's going to drive those prices up. And all that money is going to work its way up to the people who invested all the money and bought all the debt, which is rich people. That's why they have so much money. All the money basically trickles up to them at the very end. after going through all those intermediaries, the poor people, and people administering the poor people, and people that sell into the people that help the poor people, and the people who produce the machines that help the people that help the poor people. At the very end, the rich wind up with the money. And so that's exactly what's happened now. It's a large disparity of wealth. We've got so much money. We're going to have so much inflation that it will. And you can take my word for this. Tear this country apart and the world with it.
Now, the question, a big question that came up in my mind today is, as you and I always talk about it, is when will we begin to see the effects of this? When will the end game start to play out? But I heard an interesting comment today on another talk radio station. And they were talking about everything being set up for 2014 for the Democrats to take the House and then Katie bar the door for 14, 15, and 16. That made a lot of sense to me. The question is, can the Federal Reserve, can the Treasury, can the Democrats in the House and the Congress – can they forestall any significant economic event until the 2014 elections?
Sure, they can do all kinds of things to forestall it. Golly, you know, that's one of the mistakes I once made. I always figured no Congress in its right mind would do such a thing, and so thus, this is how it's going to be, and it never was, because Congress never did adhere to any rules of logic or common sense or sanity. The things they do are beyond belief. And so what do you think the government can do from here? Anything. You name something. Giving everybody $100,000 they can do.
Sure.
There's just no end to what they can do.
Well, and Hillary proposed that when she was running for president back in 2008. She said, I want to give everybody a $5,000 IRA. Well, where was that going to come from?
Well, actually, the theory is that it comes from the government, but the IRA will buy stocks and bonds, and so interest rates will go down, and business will go up, and people will get hired, and the economy will increase, and the taxes will increase enough to cover the initial investment. Of course, it doesn't work out that way. It's foolish to even think it would, but that's pretty much the theory.
Well, so then my obvious question back to her would be, then why stop at 5,000? Why don't you just give me 5 million?
Right. There's no reason why not.
There's no reason why not.
And yeah, you know, we used to be on a gold standard. We used to be on a common sense standard. We used to be on a constitutional standard of all kinds of things. But we are not on anything anymore. It's been called, I think Grant called it a PhD standard. And listen what these PhD economists run their mouths and try to discern something out of that. It's just bizarre.
Okay, let me ask you a technical question about the Fed. You and I talk about gold all the time. I know you're top. You're better than I am in the Federal Reserve. Let's ask this question.
Okay.
If it's good for the Federal Reserve to buy the debt of the United States, and it is apparently, according to experts, because it lowers the net interest expense to the United States. Sure it does. And as long as the Federal Reserve doesn't sell anything, as long as they keep buying, that's a good thing. So my question is this. Simple question.
You know, that sounds good right there. But what happens really is that the government takes that money. The Federal Reserve creates the money to buy the bonds. So the Federal Reserve gets the bonds, and the government gets the money. The government then spends the money. The money goes out into the economy. The money supply has expanded. And as Milton Friedman said, as alluded to earlier, inflation in prices is always and everywhere a phenomenon of monetary policy.
Well, so then why can't we have the Federal Reserve buy all the debt of the Treasury?
They can, sure.
So
if you're willing to actually increase the monetary base of the United States so much, it will produce crippling inflation in prices. People are rioting in Greece, for crying out loud, because food has got so high in price. And a lot of other places, too. What do you think is going to happen here?
Well, now, Ben Bernanke is telling the world, according to what he said the other day in front of Congress, that there is no inflation because those reserves aren't being let out and the monetary supply isn't increasing. So
I'm telling you that we got roaring historic inflation in the prices of bonds. Bonds have gone down to practically zero in value. Houses are going from basically still overpriced to even more overpriced. We got bubbles in all kinds of things. The stock market reached a new record high despite a PE of over 18, as I understand it. We got bubbles in all kinds of things. The fact that it hasn't shown up in the price of cornflakes doesn't mean that there's no inflation.
Oh, it has. You don't shop for cornflakes. Your lovely wife does that, or your slavish children do that for you, my friend.
Well, you know, I had to do some easing on that, too. I mean, the packaging could keep it fresher for longer, so you're getting more value for your money and all those hedonic measures. I don't know what the crap's going on. You get smaller amounts for more money. It seems like inflation to me.
Smaller amounts for more. Same size box, smaller contents. Because they don't want to change the size of the packaging of the box. That would screw up their shipping, and the size of the box they got to put the cornflakes in, and the size of the truck that the cornflakes are in would have to get smaller. So just leave the box the same and only fill it half as full.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, it's Girl Scout cookie time. The other day I bought a box of a Girl Scout cookies. There's still only 350. There's only 15 cookies in the box.
Now that's funny. I'm sorry, that's funny.
That many in a single sitting.
Yeah, exactly. What are they doing? And are they nuts? Why don't they charge me $7 and raise the price and give me my Girl Scout cookies? I'm sorry, if I'm buying some lousy cookies from a Girl Scout, there's a reason I'm doing it. It's not just to give you money. It's because I'm hooked on these lousy cookies.
They're not lousy, buddy. I know you didn't mean that.
I do not mean that.
But man, those are good cookies.
Oh yeah,
some healthy little Girl Scouts out. I mean, who could be more? Well, what a more nice, wonderful thing to do.
Well, there's a missing opportunity for Girl Scouts, and we ought to get a hold of them and say, look, you little runts are only coming around once a year. Why don't you commercialize these darn things, sell them in the store, and sell your trademark, and you'll make more money licensing your trademark than you ever could coming door-to-door from me.
Well, you know, if they did that, then all the other knockoff cookies already in the store will be losing sales, and they're not going to sit still for that. That's the way free enterprise works, man. It's dog eat dog out there.
That's exactly right. All right, Magamba, is there an economy out there? I got about 1 minute left here. Is there an economy out there that is safe? Is there a safe place to, if you could say, I'm taking my family, my bunker, and relocating and taking everything with me, is there any place better than the United States right now?
Oh, I'm sure there are. You know, I hear different stories from different people. The Singapore, Argentina, I mean, all kinds of places. I have no idea what's going on. So at least my around here, all the neighbors are armed and they know me well.
And I think that's the feedback I'm getting from most of my friends. Yes, I'm sure there's a better place, but when things start to get really difficult, even though we're going to face difficult times in this country, this is still the place to be.
Yeah, we're going to need some networking, man, when things are really falling apart like this. And so it's nice to be to know everybody.
I got you in the South, in the Southeast. I got buddies up in the North and Northwest and the Northeast. I got friends here in town, Magamba. I think if you and I start a little kind of Magamba, Shane, what are we going to call this thing?
Magamba land.
Magamba land.
Filled with Magamboites.
Magamboites. Magamboites. We're going to come up with a better word for that. I think there's something going on here, Magamba. I feel the energy, my friend.
I'm with you, Dan.
God bless. We'll talk to you again next week, Magamba. Thank you very much.
Wonderful talking to you.
All right, take care. You can find Magamba out at magamboguru.com, and you can find his articles as he submits them in our Peak Lifestyles newsletter that you can subscribe to off of our website. We'll be back right after this break with the Mid-Trip Audio Wipe. We hope you'll stay tuned.